All right. Well, you know, I think the theme is tonight that, you know, grab my water here. The theme is we have a relationship with our Father, which is very good because, you know, He cares for us, right? Even the little things in life. And tonight, I want to talk about faith-filled prayer. We're going to start on some prayer tonight. So this is perfect. Mark 11. You need to get Joe to testify about some things we were talking about, too, sometime. So you could do it now or some other time, but it's just like, I think you told me, and I was like, that's really good. So anyway, not to put you on the spot, but I'm putting you on the spot. So, yeah.
Great examples right off the cuff here, but over the past, I don't know how long it's been now, sir, a year and a half, I guess, since I've left corporate America and started a couple businesses, and for maybe the first time in my life, I slowed down and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And that kind of started this whole journey of business ownership, and, you know, self-employment, and I don't know, there's been a number of times throughout this past year and a half where it was just very obvious that He was there and with me and guiding my steps. One example that comes to mind was one of the businesses I run, I'm hauling a big trailer on the back of my truck. And as I was going 55 miles an hour down the road, one of the tires of my truck fell off. But I was able to steer the truck to the side of the road. We were able to continue working 90 minutes after the thing happened. And I just felt like, I don't know, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
It could have been much, 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 much worse. And everything was fine, and we were fine, and we were working again within an hour and a half. And it was it's just been little things like that along the way where I'm like, gosh, I probably should have trusted Him a lot earlier. Because you just get this sense that your spirit knows truth, and you just know that He's guiding your steps,
yes.
And this is the path that you're supposed to be on. There's plenty of examples, but that's kind of the high level. I'm glad that finally, you know, after almost 40 years, I decided to slow down and listen and wait and be patient for an answer.
Yeah.
And ever since, it's been excellent. It's been great. I'm so thankful.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Can I add to that? I was starting to get nervous. It was pretty big leaps of faith, investing capital and completely departing everything we'd known for what we were doing financially. Just huge changes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like there's never been both of us doubting at the same time. But I was starting to struggle a little bit with, like, where's the next thing coming? You know, like, I was starting to get antsy about the other business that He was doing with, like, clients and whatnot, the CFO stuff. Anyway, and then the later that day, we get a rhema word that's like, just do what you did before. To Joe, like, just wait and do what you did before. And we knew it was like, just ask Him and just wait. And then, sure enough, it wasn't very much, I don't know if it was weeks. And then he got a new client that totally filled the hole that needed filled. It was like, I don't know. It's just been thing after thing. The things when it appears like there's a door, then all of a sudden we move into it. Okay, then He provides in there, and it's like it's been really neat.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get one more?
Yes, please. Go ahead. Yeah.
All right. So another thing, while we were in our first season of I'm hauling a big trailer. I'm flying drones over fields and laying down chemicals. That requires huge tanks to be be carried on these trailers. Mm-hmm. And there's plumbing that goes along with that. So we're working away, minding our own business, and all of a sudden, one of the hoses burst, and chemical is flying everywhere. And so we're all getting showered with this, and, you know, I'm thinking, oh gosh.
We didn't know how to fix it.
I am an accountant by trade. my skill set is not in fixing plumbing. So my initial thought is, uh-oh, like this might shut us down today. And I kid you not, within 5 minutes, it was Sarah's dad's field. He was on the scene. We're on a dirt road. He hadn't come visited us for days. And he just so happened 5 minutes later and show up and sees that we have a problem. But he doesn't have the means to fix it. He was just driving by, thought he'd stop. He didn't have his tools with him. He has the know-how, he doesn't have the tools. 5 minutes after that, one of his buddies, this is a Class B road, it's a dirt road. one of his buddies in a truck, comes, another farmer, comes by and says, whoa, you got a problem. Need some tools?
Praise God.
It was fixed. I mean, I didn't fix it. I let Sarah's dad do it. But we had it up and running again, 20 minutes later?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, you know.
And there was another one with the guy from, not Shake Forever, but it's just so good. I think I did share this one last year. But when the trailer got stuck in the ditch. We were turning, and the ditch appeared to be, you know, when you turn into the farm ditches, and you just can't really see where the road is. And the trailer is so heavy, just full. So we're, like, turning, and the wheel goes off, and it's like, it's me and Austin and Joe, and none of us knew what to do. And we're trying, and then, I don't know, 20 or a car had driven by, and then he comes back, and he says, you guys need some help? Oh, we had stopped and just prayed. I'm like praying, send the right person. We're in the middle of this gravel maze out in the middle of nowhere. And then this guy comes by and he's like, I'm doing fiber optics or something up here. But I always, you know, for decades he worked in, that's what he did. He did a tow truck, he got people out of other stuff. And we're just like, thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Why all these stories tie together because the nature of the business is that we work from sun up to sundown for about 3 weeks because you have this finite window of time where it's got to get on the crop and then you're done. Yeah. So like any sort of delay or big delay is just crippling to the operation.
Yeah.
So the fact that all of these things just happened in such a way that kept us in the air and the turnaround was so quick was just,
amazing.
It was just clearly God guiding our steps.
Well, like one time when the batteries weren't working and we couldn't figure out, they wouldn't charge and you can't run, the batteries don't go. And we were just like, so we're just standing there praying in tongues and like just praying over these batteries and then they kick on and start charging.
Wow.
It was like thing after thing after thing, which is really good to revisit. Thank you for asking because we're about to start a new season.
Yeah.
I love it. That's awesome. All these things.
Yeah, and you know, people will go, well, that just happens or this, but you know, we've talked for a long time about these things, and I said, you got to just share this stuff because this is really good because this is, you know, I think sometimes we think that we step out or we're doing something that, you know, we're just this little orphan out here, and you know, we got to, you know, God just kind of sticks a $20 bill on our shirt and said, good luck, kid, hope you make it, and He's with us. I mean, like he knows when the wheel's going to fall off and he knows he's going to send the father-in-law or the friend, or, you know, what have you to help you. And that's where, you know, I think it's valuable, especially tonight we're talking about these things because really prayer is just resting in him to help you out. It's just relationship. And, you know that I'm doing this and God, you're good and you're going to help me. And that's really what prayer is. We need to overcomplicate things and really prayer is just communicating, But no, I appreciate you sharing that, because it's powerful when you get a real life situation and God just shows up again and again and again and again. And, you know, things look like they may not, you know, like with kind of your job situation and just some career changes and things like that, God will have you do things you just don't understand sometimes. Like, why am I doing this? And why am I over here doing these things? And, you know, but Mark 11 tonight. We're not probably going to get real far tonight, but that's okay. Because I really enjoy that. It's very powerful to hear the testimonies, because, again, we need to see that the word works.
Amen.
And that we have a good God that is, you know, compassionate.
Yeah.
He's helping us. He's engaged with us. He's there looking after us. And you know what? We just need to call on him.
Amen.
You know? We just don't receive, because the Bible says we don't receive because we don't ask.
Yeah.
But when we ask, then it says, knocking the door will be open. Seek and ye shall find. Mark 11:22 says this, and Jesus answered and said unto them, here we go, have faith in God. Guess what? Before we even pray, we've got to just trust God. We've got to know him. Or, you know, now this is where, we talked about this before, but this is when Jesus cursed the fig tree. He came back, they're walking back the next day, and that thing is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, right before that, if you read farther up in that chapter, it says when he cursed it, then they looked at it. Like they were studying, like, okay, nothing's happening. But he spoke to it.
Mm-hmm.
And see, too many times we're going, nothing's happening. But something was happening behind the scenes, wasn't it?
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
It didn't, to the disciples' eyes, nothing was happening. But God was work behind the scenes that whole day. And then it goes on and he says, truly I say unto you, whosoever shall say into this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that car is blessed, right? It's not going to have to tap all the brakes, but just brake pads on it, right? But shall believe those things which they say shall come to pass, you will have whatever you say. Lord, we need help right now. How do we do these things? Send the right person. Guess what? Person's on the way. Interesting enough, that just like they were talking about this testimony, you know, Jesus cursed the fig tree. It was in the process. It died right when Jesus spoke that. But we didn't see it fruition. Guess what? You know, sometimes it takes God 5 minutes to get somebody there, right?
Yeah.
Right? But it doesn't mean he didn't hear you. It doesn't mean he didn't answer your prayer. Therefore, 24, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire. Well, what are the things we desire? Well, because we're going to get into different types of prayer, but this is what we call the prayer of faith. This is one of the prayers of faith. What is the things you desire? Healing. So we can say that we can believe this for healing. We can use whatsoever things you desire. Finances, relationships, what have you. Job, favor. Those are all things we can kind of encompass within the prayer of faith. So whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall what? Have them. Verse 25, and when you, so let's stop there for a moment. Verse 22 is, again, we're talking to a person. Now, too many people, religious or just people who they're focused on, and we're also going to look at Matthew chapter 26. I don't know if we're going to get there tonight. But they're focused on how they say it. Right? They're focused on, you know, was it good enough? Did I say this, right? That's why all the time you know, when we were down at Rhema, and we have people too now, they're just like, they always call, there's a call, we work for, and I also did some prayer time for Rhema there too, and people call in, I volunteered and did some things, but people call in, they want you to pray. Because why? Because they're focused on what I'm saying isn't good enough. And sometimes it's just not the person. They, you know, they're focused on I'm an unworthy vessel, but you're probably worthy enough to do it. See, there's something wrong with the vessel. There's something wrong with the transmitter, but the receiver is okay. God's, you know, a lot of cases, especially religious folks, they're more focused on I'm not good enough. There's something wrong with me, or God won't listen to me, or I'm not in with the big guy, like people, you know, the religious folks, or you know, the worldly people. But what's it say right here? We are talking to a person. And if we do remember in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, we're made in his image, after his likeness. Book of Psalms also says that he inhabits the praises of his people. So when we talk nice about him, he shows up. Right? I've been around people that don't like me before, and guess what? It's like, oh, boy, oh, look at the time here. Playing sports and stuff, and it's like, you know, when you, over the years, you play sports, it's like you're kind of arch enemies with people. Then all of a sudden, you get down to, like, you know, the advanced levels, or you get down to high school, and then it's like all of a sudden, oh, we're all on one team together. We fought for years and didn't like each other, and now all of a sudden, it's like we're on the same. So, you know, it's kind of like after prayer, it's like, oh, I got this thing I got to do. We didn't get along very well, but we have to be on the same team together. So we're talking with a person who is interested in us. And you know the interesting thing is, too many people, they're viewing God through the eyes of how they would view people. What I mean by that is this, I don't like you, I wouldn't do anything for you. So God probably has the same attitude towards me because I'm not real lovey-lovey with him. And so we're always viewing God, you know, all those people, you know, people who want to justify their sin and everything. Well, my God wouldn't do that, right? Because he's some God you created in your head.
Yeah.
You never read the Bible, and you never know what he's actually like or actually spent time talking with him. But somehow, you've cooked up this quote God in your head that, you know, is okay with every weird thing. But we're talking with this, and people, again, rely on if their prayer was good enough. Well, did I say the right things? Did I do this? Did I, you know, so it becomes a formula. And I know sometimes in what we call the Word of Faith movement, some people, they say, well, it seems like a formula. It seems like a formula. Well, it's a lot of teaching, but really when you boil down to it, it's going to be focused around, are we going to have a relationship with God? Are we going to be able to approach him? Elements of prayer, speaking, again, if you know, if it doesn't come out your mouth, it doesn't matter. Believing, and also, we haven't read this part, but humility or also a forgiving heart, right? Verse 23, again, we need to speak, and also we need to believe in our heart. So there's got to be some things that we desire, correct? And I'm going to just say this really quick. I was just kind of praying today, and this kind of came to me. But it says, "But I heard the statement. It doesn't matter if you have experience in receiving answered prayer or not, you can receive it." What I mean by that is, some people, their experiences, they've crashed and burned in the past. Therefore, they think it's not going to happen. Well, Joe and Sarah can tell you that's not true. Right? Dina can attest to this, right? So, the point is this, that when you go to God in prayer, and if you're thinking about all, and I always get kind of, you know, we can talk about things like, why doesn't somebody get healed? Why doesn't this, and why doesn't this, and why doesn't this? And there's some things we can kind of talk about on those, some of those subjects, but also, too, we need to just go, you know, I remember being in prayer school and talking about what if it does work? What if you lay hands on somebody and they do jump out of a wheelchair? What are we willing to take the risk to step out and ask God for those things and believe for it? Right? Because what's the alternative? Sink or swim?
Right.
Right? You know, well, I'm just afraid. Well, go bankrupt, right? Go broke. Lose everything you have. Or step out of the boat, right? Trust God. Because let me just say this in life. Okay, it doesn't matter what you've done in life. Guess what? No matter what you do, you're not going to have all the answers before you get there on everything. So it doesn't matter, right? It just doesn't matter. Have you ever built, like, either like you've built something before? Or like, you know, if you've been involved with building a house over the years or something like that. I'm just going to tell you what, when you start and you're really excited and then you get into about a month or two and it's like, dear Lord, what have I gotten myself into, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, please God, just get this, help us get this thing together, right? You just don't know. They're just things that happen in life. Guess what? You're not going to have it figured out, but that's part of life altogether, isn't it? You're never going to have all the answers. It's just you got to step out in some instances and do things, right? So again, but yeah, I also want to say this too. When we're praying or believing by faith, guess what? There's always a lot of firsts in life, right? I always joke around our house. I'm like, the worst thing I could have done was teach my kids how to talk. I always say every time, I'm like, that was the biggest mistake I made in our house was teaching you guys how to talk. What was I thinking? I'm kidding.
So cute.
But there are things, we're going to have first things in life. Maybe you haven't experienced things with God or maybe some people, you prayed, you haven't seen answers of prayer. You haven't seen, there's always a first to everything. And everything with God is, guess what? It does get addictive. Everybody talks about drugs, and I was listening to this testimony of this guy the other day talking about he got saved, and he was in Latin America somewhere, and he was doing drugs or something like that, but he goes, when I got saved, I was at church all the time because I was addicted to the presence of God. And there's nothing, addiction is okay, rebellion is okay as long as it's right. I always tell people, it's okay to rebel against the right things. It's okay to have an addiction in the right things. Those things are not necessarily bad. So we always think of addiction as everything's bad, you know? Well, you can be addicted to your Bible, yeah. You know, right? You can be addicted to prayer. I feel weird, like, if I go too long without praying, like, I'll just kind of walk around, you know? Sometimes if I get out of the office or around people and I'm just walking around, all of a sudden I'm in the bathroom kind of just praying in tongues under my breath. I'm like, I am in public, so there are other people around me. Not that I'm really, you know, not like I'm going to be all, you know, if somebody hears me or something, like I'm going to be just, oh, you know. But the point is just kind of automatic. And so there are good things. So again, there's first, we take our first steps. We can, our first words. Sometimes there's that first, you play your first sport, your first team. You know, maybe the first time you go to school or maybe the first time you read a book, what have you. Or, you know, for example, we've got teenagers that have driven before, or maybe you've driven before, right? It's one thing of riding in the car, but it's different driving the car, isn't it? Okay? I've got some people in my household we're getting the car, and it was like that first time, I'm like, I hope I don't put holes in this dash. I was like, oh, I'm getting whiplash. I need to wear a neck brace. No, I'm kidding. They do a good job. But it's different, isn't it? Right? It's different than talking about things in the Word, and we talk about things, but it's different actually getting behind the wheel and actually throwing that thing in drive or first gear, what have you. First gear. Who drives a stick? That was my first car. It was a stick. I was chirping gears and popping clutches and all kinds of stuff. And it was like this automatic stuff. Whatever. So again, prayer is simply talking or relying on the Lord, isn't it? We're just simply relying on Him. What's the alternative? Well, what do you got to lose, right? I mean, you pray. No, you got everything to gain and nothing to lose. Hebrews 11. That's why it's important for testimonies, when you do have testimonies to share them, because it's confirming that this stuff does work, that the Word does work, that God is answering prayer, that He does, you know, hear, that things are working. He is working on our behalf. And You know, especially with, you know, all the COVID and all that other junk that happened, you know, years and just things that have gone on. It's good to hear the testimonies that, you know what, God is on the throne. And we're seeing God turning things around in our world right now. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Here we go, the evidence of things not seen. I'm telling you what, faith and prayer go hand in hand, because guess what? If you don't have faith in God, you're not going to open your mouth up and pray to Him. Or if you do, you do say it, you don't really expect anything to happen. And so the basis of prayer is knowing that the person you're approaching is real, cares about you, and wants to help and wants to answer prayer. You want to help people. Now, around my house, Adrian's kind of the morning shift, I'm the night shift, so I make sure everybody gets to bed at night, and she wrangles everybody up. So during the week, she gets up early. On the weekends, I'm usually the first one, and the dogs have figured that out because they're on top of me, licking my face at like 7 o'clock in the morning, like, we got to get out of here. We need fed. We got to have some results going on, right? So I don't know what it is, but they're always laying on top of me, find me, and they're on top of me, and they're right here, and one starts licking, and then I move, and then the other one jumps in too. And so I like to get up earlier on the weekends because, you know, let Adrian sleep in, let everybody sleep in. I feed the dogs, I let them out, I kind of do some things, you know, kind of up earlier on the weekends. Now, do I have to do that? No. But again, it's just, what is it? It's a relationship, right? It's doing things because it pleases other people, right? And so that's what God is doing. He's wanting to answer prayers because He loves us. There's a relationship there. He's doing things. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Nothing you do in this life, you're going to be good enough for God. Do you realize that, don't you? What pleases Him? Faith. Faith in Him. And when we pray, it pleases Him, because guess what? We believe that He is. Now, unless you're some kind of crazy, unless you're, you know, schizophrenic or what have you, you know, you're seeing Smurfs, you know, and all kinds of other weird stuff. The point is this, you know, when we pray, we believe that God is real. And it's just really important. Now, the Bible doesn't take any time, doesn't waste time to prove God. You ever notice that? It doesn't. When you read the Bible, the assumption is God is real, right? It's the assumption. No, there's no, God doesn't waste, the Bible doesn't waste time trying to prove that God exists. Romans 1 says that, hey, you just look outside, there's God all over the place. You can see Him, there's proof all over, right? It's called intelligent design. And, and we also see seed time, the harvest, and again, there's just elements that God has put in place. He set laws in motion in this earth, and it won't stop until He's done with it. And heaven will come down and be, this will be the new kingdom. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God, here we go, must believe that He is, and what? Is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. This is prayer, really, in a sense. It's faith, and it's also prayer. Why would you go to God and pray if you didn't think He's going to answer you? And think about how ridiculous that would be to, I mean, you know, it's like if I went outside and we went to a restaurant or something and I'm talking with somebody I know and everything, and I'm like, yeah, you know, these little, you know, imaginary guys that are blue Smurfs and everything, I've asked them for a new car. And people think, okay, you're crazy, right? You're crazy. Because there are no little, unless you're, you know, doing something, some drugs or something. But the point is this, we know that stuff doesn't exist, so people would think you're crazy. But guess what? We know God exists because the Word says so, and we can see it all around us. So we know that He exists and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So we need to know, first of all, before we do anything or ask him or have faith in anything, we've got to have confidence that God, that he is real. He actually exists. Second, that his character. So again, we need to understand his character. I don't understand people who think that God is killing people or he's doing bad things, but then they pray to him. This scripture here, verse 6, talks about that we have got to understand that he's a rewarder. Right? Well, God just took so-and-so, and he took so-and-so, and he's out killing people, and he's doing these bad, evil things. Well, why would we pray to somebody that does that? Then it says, and there's a word of them who diligently seek him. Are we diligent to seek him? I remember one time I was at Rhema, and our dean of, Gary Crowell, he came, he preached a couple times here. But he's dean of the college at the time, and he said something. I was like, ow. You ever had those times where somebody say something, and you're like, okay, that hurts. Yeah, that's painful, you know. And he said, if you run into trouble or something happens in your life and the word is not the first thing you think about, then you're carnal. And I'm like, we're not diligently seeking him, right? We're running to a quick fix. We're running to what's easy. We're running to what's familiar, right? Yeah. And I'm not, again, saying that things like doctors or medicine is bad. We're not saying that. I'm not, you know, down on that. But are we putting him first, right? Because, just like getting in trouble or, having an issue, you know, when you're all the way out somewhere in the middle of nowhere, right? I've been out in the middle of nowhere and hunting and I get lost or, you know, it's just like you're out in the middle of nowhere and there's no help. You get out in some of them cornfields and you get out some of them like in the timber and stuff. And I remember one time when I was a kid and it was a God moment too. I was praying and I was only like a teenager and I'm out hunting. And what happened was, you know, there was a hill and this, what happened was on this well, one of the times, on this hill, around the other side of the hill, there was a creek. Well, it split. When I came up over the hill, it split this way. So when I got up over the hill, I didn't see where it split. I caught the tail end of it, and I walked like 10 miles out. And so I'm like, God, it's like dark out, and I can't see anything, you know, when I'm out hunting. And so I'm praying, and then all of a sudden I see a combine out there with a light on, you know. So I walk up, and then it's over by this house, so I knock on the door. You know, I've got a shotgun, but I have orange vest on, so, you know, it's not like, hey, I'm too creepy, you know. I'm like, okay, I'm out hunting and stuff. And I'm like, I kind of got lost, and this older farmer's wife came to the door, let me in, and I called. And so we're talking. And she said, and when I was walking, something inside me just says, you know, go left a little farther up this way, or go right. So I was heading this way, and I decided to go right this way a little bit. And when I got up over this hill, like I said, I saw the light of the combine, and I came up. And before that, I was praying, and the lady told me, she says, and it was starting to snow really bad, and it was starting to get really, really cold. And that lady told me, she goes, you know what, if you had walked out there, walked around this, you know, and not come up over this hill where my husband was in the combine, there's like 10,000 acres over there where there's nothing, and you'd have been there all night. And so it was just a God thing that, again, I walked up just asking him. There's no like, hey, I'm going to stop over the Quick Trip and, you know, talk to somebody there, and I'll just get an Uber and go home. You know, it doesn't exist, right? You got to have God, because if God doesn't show up, then you're in trouble. So again, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to save his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now, this is very interesting because we're talking about faith, but also, too, we've got to believe that God's seeing and he knows things that we don't know, right? Of course God knew that tires are going to fall off and you're going to get stuck and this stuff's going to happen, right? So again, if you don't live by faith, you won't spend time praying. If you don't have faith in the Lord, then you won't believe that he's going to answer your prayers. Let's look at 1 John 5:14 and 15. Man, I just scratched the surface here, but so faith and prayer go hand in hand. Faith and prayer go hand in hand, right? First John 5:14 and 15, it says, this is the confidence that we have in him. Again, confidence. Why do we have confidence in him? Because we know his character. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What's his will? I remember one time I shared this clown on TV. I shouldn't call him a clown, but he's a clown. He was upset because he prayed, asked God to help him rob a bank.
Oh, my goodness.
And he got caught. It's not his will to go steal, right? Well, I'm praying for somebody else's spouse, or I'm praying, you know, that I have this car of theirs or something. You know, it's like God's not into things that are not his will. Well, I'm praying and I just can't understand. Well, first of all, is it his will? And then verse 15, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If we can get out of this poverty mentality a lot, right? This whole, you know, well, I'm not sure if God really wants me to have that and everything else too. You're right. He wants George Soros to have all the money and not have you any money, right?
Yeah.
He wants all the movie stars to have all the money and you not have any, right? That makes sense. I enjoy sports, but, you know. Much of prayer, again, is trusting in the character of the person of the Lord. That's what it boils down to. Understanding him. Spending time with him. Knowing that, you know what, he's going to help me. And I've had those situations, too, where it's just like, God, if you don't help me. Remember one time I was at a car and I was tearing apart the engine and there's a flywheel in there and normally you can take a wrench and take it off and it wouldn't budge. And so I'm like, so they call it bump start. So I tell you, I had a big old pry bar on there and I'm like, God, I gotta bump start this car to break this whole engine loose. If I don't, then this 4Runner is going to the scrapyard. Well, you got to help me here because I don't have the equipment and everything else too, and it's this whole thing. So I put it in there and bumped in it. Sure, it came loose and it just perfect. And I put the whole engine. Put the whole engine back together and put it. I'm like, whew, oh boy, because you need to get like 200 and some thousand miles in some of those vehicles. And I was like, that stuff gets rusted and it gets nasty, and you're like, I hope it comes apart okay. It was just a situation. I wasn't planning on it. Like, yes, I know that this flywheel is going to be all rusted on there and it's not going to happen and blah, blah, blah. And this crankshaft, it's going to be rusted on there too. And I can't. I don't work on engines every day, so I'm not going to spend, you know, $10,000 on tools and stuff. But also, too, it's like, I don't want to spend $10,000 on an engine either. But God will help you, right? And those times you're just like, Lord, I need your help here. I don't have the stuff. Help me out, and God can help you out. I just want to read a few scriptures before we close. Psalms 4, verse 5 says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness, and what? Put your trust in the Lord. Psalm 64:10, I'm just going to read through these real quick. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord, and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. I'll tell you what, it's a good thing to serve God. Do you know how many people now that all these things that are coming out, this dirty stuff that's been happening in the news and all this junk, it is not good if you don't serve God and you do garbage behind the scene, right? It's when you're doing evil things, but it says here that we trust in Him. Psalm 73, verse 28 says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works." Psalms 112:7 says, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." Psalms 115:11 says, "You fear the Lord, trust in the Lord." Here we go. "He is their help and their shield." I need His help, and I want to be my shield. How about you? We could talk about, you know, all kinds of different prayers and this and that and, you know, all kinds of different things and this function and all these things, and that is important. But when it really comes down to in faith and prayer, it just means His character. He's willing to do things for us if we'll ask Him, and He wants to do it for us. Because we see that God is a good God, and he definitely wants to help us. And it doesn't matter with your experiences. It doesn't matter whether you've seen God do amazing things in your life, and maybe you prayed and what have you. The point is, and again, the Word is not based on your experiences. The Word is based on truth. And truth is a person. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me," right? Truth is a person. It's a person. Father, we just thank You so much. We rely on You tonight, Lord. You are there, ever-present help in trouble. You hear us. You're a good God. We put our trust and our faith in You, that those things that we desire, that You hear us, Lord God, and You answer the petitions that we desire of You, Lord. God, we thank You that we're going to hear more testimonies in the days and weeks to come about the things that You do. And Father, we just glorify You. We thank You that, Lord, that You continue to do things in our nation, in our church, in our families, in the world. Lord God, we just proclaim righteousness will be manifest in the United States and in the world. Lord God, we thank You that those people who would not repent and turn from their wicked ways, Lord, that are hurting people would be judged. But Father, we thank You that Your Holy Spirit is being poured out on this world like never before, Lord Jesus. We thank You for an end-time awakening and a revival like never before in our lives, in the church, and in this nation. And we give this nation and dedicate it to Jesus Christ. We pray for our president and our vice president and our Senate and Congress, Lord God, and the judicial system, Lord, on the federal level, because You told Timothy to pray for those in authority that we may live a quiet and peaceable life. Father, I pray for our governor and lieutenant governor, Lord God, and our leadership and the judicial system in the state of Iowa, Lord God, that righteousness would prevail in our state and also our nation, Lord Jesus. And Father, we just thank You, Lord God, that You are inputting more and more godly men and women into our leadership in this nation. And we thank You in Your name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Have a great week.